Let's join together in the centering words. Be not dismayed, for Christ is alive, bringing hope and joy to our lives this day. Alleluia. Please stand as you're able and join in the call to worship. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Our hearts are glad and our souls rejoice. Do not worry or fear, for Christ is alive. In this place we find hope and joy. Alleluia, Christ is risen. Let us worship the one who brings new life. Let us join in prayer. Life-giving God, we gather today to celebrate the resurrection of your Son. We are grateful for the new life he brings. We are grateful for the hope and joy he shares. We are grateful for leading the way as he goes before us. Gracious God, today and every day, we offer you our thanks and praise. Strengthen our faith that it may sustain us in difficult days and enable us to share your love with others. Open our hearts to new life and new possibilities. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Please remain standing and let's sing together, This is the Day. It's in the United Methodist Hymnal, number 657. We will sing it through two times. It's also on the screen.
Good morning. You may be seated. And welcome, and thank you for allowing me to share this time with you here in worship today. Let us go ahead and take this time to silently take our own personal joys, our own personal cares and concerns to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Dear Heavenly Father, saying thank you for all that you have provided for us is so woefully inaccurate and incomplete. Saying thank you for all of the blessings that you have given us falls so very short. But God, thank you. Thank you for the love that you have shown us, the grace that you give us, the sacrifice of your Son, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ to save our souls so that we may one day be with you in joy in heaven. Heavenly Father, today we stop for this moment and we bring all of our sorrows and our grief and our pain. We bring our sickness and our cares and we lay them down at your feet and we say, please, God, comfort us. Dear God, today we bring to you our joys and celebrations of new births, of wonderful children, and all of the great gifts of that, maybe not this visible right minute, spring that is to come. But yes, in you we know that there is a time and a place for everything. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your comfort. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for those that protect us in the military and the police. Thank you for the doctors and the care facilities that assist us when we need them. God, please be with all of those who are in power now and guide them as we seem so woefully lost in our lives today. God, we can bring all of these things and more to you, knowing that you not only have the power and the ability to care for them and take care of them and deal with them, but you already have a plan to do so. And so for that, God, we come to you in the prayer that your Son taught us to pray as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time, we are going to invite all of the children to come forward and have a special kids moment and a kids message for them. So please come on forward, please.
Good morning, everybody. Alrighty, let's see if I can do this. I have something in this little coffee filter. I don't know if you guys can see it. I'll hold it up. What is this? It's a chocolate bunny. I don't know if everyone back there can see it. It's a tiny chocolate bunny. Oh, perfect. Do you guys see the chocolate bunny too? Perfect. Alrighty. Do you guys think this is a solid chocolate bunny, or do you think he's hollow? I think he's gonna be hollow. Should I crack them open and see?
No.
Eat them open? Not in front of the crowd. There, I'll just break his head off. There. Is he hollow? He's hollow. He looked like he would have been solid, but he's not. Do you guys like it when they're solid, or do you guys like it when they're hollow?
Solid.
You like it when they're solid? I like it when they're solid, too. It's kind of a trick when they're hollow inside, isn't it? Yeah, there's more chocolate if it's solid. So, little bunnies like that one can help us remember that sometimes beauty is only skin deep. Have you guys ever heard that? So, that's kind of an old saying. So, Basically, someone can look really pretty on the outside and like look like they'd be a super nice person, then you get to know them and they're not. Have you ever met someone like that? Yeah. It's not very fun when that happens, is it? So, God wants to help us be beautiful inside and out, because that's how he created us to be, right? Yeah. So, what are some ways that we could be beautiful inside? We could be kind. What are some ways that we could be kind to people? Let's see. I'm not very good at math, so who here is good at math? So you guys could, perfect. You all could help me out with math. All right. That's a good way. What else? He can be helpful. He can teach us how to draw. Exactly. You can help people out with your talents. Let's see. If you see someone struggling with the door, are you going to go help them open it? Yeah. Yeah, I knew you guys would. So those are just some of the ways that we can do it. Think we can do that? Cool. Should we pray? All right, cool. Hey, God. Thank you so much for bringing us here and help us to remember to be beautiful inside. Amen.
I always like it when Spider-Man shows up for church. The scripture reading today comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. Hear these words. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold that, though perishable, is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy, for you're receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. May your spirit add understanding to these words. Now, we are going to be treated with some special music, Holy Spirit, Living Breath by our chancel choir, accompanied on cello by Brian Robeson.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your special gift, Brian. Thank you, Chancel Choir. Our Lord and Savior has all blessed us with so many gifts, each one a little different. Each one a little different, but we all have gifts. It is at this time that we take a few minutes to share not only our gifts, of our time and our talent, but we take this opportunity to provide an offering to God to show our gratitude for all that He has provided and all that He has done for us. So at this time, will the ushers please come forward and receive our offering, our gifts, and our tithes.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, please take these gifts and use them. Use them to your will. Use them to grow your family, to do your ministry, and to help the humankind in a way that is glorious to you and your Son Almighty. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray, amen.
At this time, let us remain standing and we will sing together the hymn of preparation, hymn number 364, Because He Lives. Amen. You may be seated. I want to take a second and thank Ella Champagne for the wonderful playing of the saxophone, and I want to thank Amy Champagne for the accompaniment and for playing on the piano. Thank you, folks. Today, our gospel comes to us from the book of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. Here is the gospel according to John. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and I put my fingers where the nails were, and I put my hands into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in a house again, and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hands and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not even recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I want to start this morning, and I want to ask a simple question. I would like to ask you to raise your hand if you have a favorite movie. And when you raise your hand if you have a movie, a favorite movie, I want you to raise up the number of fingers on how many times you have seen that favorite movie. So, do you have a favorite movie? And how many times have you seen that movie? Is it just five? Or is it quite a few more times? Yes. Our favorite movies or our favorite songs or our favorite books, we seem to go to them over and over again. How many times have you sat down and watched that favorite movie for the umpteenth time and you saw something different? Is that better? I apologize. I'm sorry. I thought you could hear me. How many of you have seen that favorite movie for at least the umpteenth time and you just see something new for the first time? Well, you see, with a lot of these stories about Christ, we hear them over and over again. And this is one of those common stories. Just like the one we heard last week about the resurrection on Easter, this is a very similar and a very familiar scripture. However, today, I'm going to say that maybe we're going to take a different look. Something a little bit new. I'd like to ask us to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, be with us. Guide us and help us. Lead us to understanding your ways. Be with us now and help us to learn about you, your Son, and the life that you want us to lead. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You know, I have filled in a number of times up here, and it doesn't always astound me, but I still get amazed at when I fill in how I feel like it is God telling me something direct. You see, this scripture today is one, the ideas and the thoughts of the scripture I have been wrestling with for an extremely long time. Ever since the first day of school, starting the school year. You see, the very first day back for teachers, our school district had this special guest speaker. And he came in, and he was a wonderful speaker, and he told us that we had to have faith that our kids get it. We had to have faith in our students. You know, that's the lesson that I've really been struggling with my entire school year, is having faith in the students. And I've even commented a number of times, the last person they told me to have faith in, I've even mentioned, he walked on water, he turned water into wine, he healed the sick, he raised the dead, he gave me reason to believe and to have faith in him. Now, I have told this to my students as well. Folks, I'm not asking you to walk on water, and I'm not asking you to rise from the dead, but I'm asking you to give me something. Show me something so I can have a little faith that you will be okay in the future. So what you're going to hear over the next few minutes is the message that I have been wrestling with for an entire school year. And you're going to hear how maybe a little bit different of approach may work for me with my students, as well as with you and your faith and your relationship with Christ. You see, that simple question that I've been asking myself most of the school year is, how can I have faith in something that I have not seen? That's the question. And I think it is so ironic that this scripture talks about that same question. If I can't have faith in my students because they haven't shown me anything, how can I have faith in Christ when I haven't seen him? And I'm sorry to say, folks, but my simple answer to this question is, I don't know. I just have not found a good answer, and I'm still looking for one. Maybe if I had an answer to this question, maybe I might be a better teacher. Maybe my students might learn more. Maybe my students might become more successful in their futures. I have tried to use my faith in God, and I have tried to find a way to have more faith in my students. But all I can say is that I am just like that doubting Thomas. I'm still waiting to see the evidence. I'm still waiting to place my hands in the side. I still want to know things are going to be all right. And when I see this evidence, then maybe I'll know it'll be okay. Maybe I know my students then will be successful. But it's just like Jesus said to his disciples, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Truly blessed are those teachers who have faith in their students, even though those students have really not shown any reason why they should. You see, those teachers have done their job. They know where they realize something that I'm still struggling, trying to understand. You see, that's where I wish to be. But instead, I, like Thomas, I am still waiting for proof. And because of this, this is where I want to take a little twist on the story. This is where I want to look at things a little bit differently. You see, Jesus said, blessed are those who believe that have not seen. And how wonderful it is to truly be blessed by God. But let's take just a couple seconds and review. Let's review the story of Jesus Christ in its entirety. You see, the Virgin Mary gets pregnant, has a child. This child is told to be the king. So the ruling king, Herod, says, hey, where's he? I want to find him. But Jesus is taken away and saved. He's grown up. He learns about God, and then he becomes the teacher, and he becomes teaching and preaching about God. He goes to a few people. He says, hey, I'll make you a fisherman of men. And he gets a few guys together, and they're called his disciples. Hey. Well, Well, the powers that be, there's only 12 of them. They can't do anything. Let's not worry about them. No big deal, right? But Jesus keeps teaching and keeps preaching, and the number of his followers seem to grow a little more and more. But then all of a sudden, he starts doing these things. He starts doing those miracles. Stop me if you've heard none of this before. But maybe he turns water into wine. Or he feeds several thousand people with a couple loaves of bread and some fish. He heals the sick. And then he even has the audacity to raise Lazarus from the dead. Well, at this point, Jesus' followers, they're starting to amass in numbers. People are believing in Jesus because they're seeing these miracles. And now the powers that be, the priests, the Sadducees, all of these high people now get concerned. It's with that growing number of followers that kind of ruffles the feathers of those that are in charge. And so they arrest Jesus, they convict him, or they try him, convict him, and they crucify him. Just last Good Friday. 3 days later, last Sunday on Easter, Jesus Christ is raised from the dead. And this is where we are in our scripture. Now, a week later, the disciples are in a locked room, and Jesus enters, and he says, "Blessed are you." And he gives them that greeting of peace. Now, if we take a little look at just a little bit of this, was Jesus not in trouble for doing the things to convince people that he was the son of the Messiah, that he was the Son of God? People probably wouldn't have followed him if he wouldn't have done all of those miracles. Is it not in this growing group that believed in him that is what caused the Sadducees and the high priest to crucify him? The priests weren't healing people. Jesus was. He did all of these things to show that he was the Son of God, to have people believe in him. This is why Jesus was crucified. Would it not have been nice if we could have just accepted that this baby that was born a virgin in this manger, when he grew up and he says, "Hey, I'm the Messiah, I'm the Son of God," and we'd have said, "Sure, great, thanks." No, we had to see to believe. Truly, it would have been a blessing had we not had to see for ourselves. Now let's fast forward 2,000 years. Here we are in Fort Dodge, Iowa. And I can honestly say that I feel everyone here, everyone listening on the radio or everyone following us on the computer, I can honestly say you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you believe in God. If you didn't, you probably wouldn't be here, right? So I ask you, how do you believe in God now? You haven't seen him. You didn't see him walk on water or raise the dead. Did you just see it in a book and in writing? Is that good enough for you? Hey, that gets me thinking. How do we believe in God now? I've asked this question several times, and I've come to this point, and this is where I look at this scripture slightly different. Because I have to ask, have you seen God lately? I want you to think about that question momentarily. Maybe that's where there's a difference in me believing and having faith in God and Jesus Christ, and I find it difficult to have faith in my students. You see, I hope and I pray that you answered that simple question, that have I seen God I hope you answer that with a resounding yes. I hope that you not only have seen God lately, but that you have seen God today and that you see Him daily. That, in my opinion, is how we are blessed. You see, God is all around us, and we can see Him every day. In this day and age, with all the political discourse, all the violence, all the murders and hatred and killing, I think now it's more important than ever that we see God today. There was a number one hit, a very popular song by the legendary country singer George Strait. The song is entitled, "I Saw God Today." And I would say, if you're not familiar with that song, maybe you want to look that song up. Because in the lyrics of that song, it describes a man who had been sitting by his wife's side in a hospital bed for the last 18 hours. And he decides that he can't sit there no more. And so he gets up and he's going to walk to a coffee shop. And on the way to the coffee shop, as he's walking there in the sidewalk, in a crack, is this weed that is growing up and it has a flower on it. And it is that flower growing where it has no reason to be there. And its bloom and its beauty, the lyrics say, that in the shadow of that hospital, at 5:08, I saw God today. Yes, even as something as simple as a flower blooming can show us the brilliance and the love of God. The chorus of that song has the words, "I've been to church, I've read the book, I know He's here, but I don't look, not nearly as often as I should." Maybe that's our problem. Maybe we're not looking for God. Maybe we're not seeing Him today. You see, seeing is believing. Yes, God is all around us. We just have to stop and look. We have to pay attention. We have to see the wonder and the majesty of our Lord and Savior. Whether you're seeing God in a blooming flower, whether you're seeing it in the birth and the cries of a newborn child, maybe you're seeing it in the comfort. And the comfort of someone who is in pain and grief. All you have to do is look and see. Blessed are those who have not seen but yet believe. So true. But we all have been blessed by God. We are so blessed. God loves us. God loves us so much and blesses us so much that He just gave His only Son to die for us. That's why we're here. That's why we celebrate every Sunday. We celebrate that love and that grace that God has given us. If you've had difficulties in your life, or if you're struggling, or if you're dealing with pain or suffering, I want you to know that you are blessed. You are blessed and you are loved by God no matter what. God loves and God cares for you. And God wants you to love Him too. Seeing is believing. So see God. See God every day. See God at work in your life. And what I think you will find is when you do see God, you will become the vision that somebody else will see God in your actions and in you. See God so that you will know God. Maybe someday my students will have great success and I will get to see that firsthand, and that I will be able to have faith in them. Maybe today for you, you may be encountering your problems or your struggles, but maybe to help if you would see God today in your life. And when you do see God, you will know that you are blessed. Because seeing is believing. See God. See God in your life and know that God loves you and He has a plan for you and that you are blessed. Yes, at 10:44, I saw God today. May you look and see Him too, so that you are blessed by His love. Amen. Amen. Now, may we rise and sing together our closing hymn, hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. Amen. May the grace of the Lord and the peace of Jesus Christ, which passes all understanding, may you find that today. May you see God today and know that you are loved. Seeing is believing. So go now and see God and believe. Amen.
get it.